Buenos días a todos, un placer estar aquí, pero lo voy a hacer la presentación en inglés porque es lo que me han dicho que haga. It's a pleasure to be here at this first Connect event in the Americas. I am very excited about this event because I remember many years ago in Europe, I used to go to some of the French Connect, as it was called, years ago. And so it's a very nice thing to have this event here because of the fact that it reflects the dynamism of the industry, it reflects the competitive nature of the air transport industry. And so what I wanted to do today is not give you data that our friends from Malta are going to be providing you with, because otherwise it would be somehow repetitive. At the end of the day, the numbers are more or less the same. But I will just focus on some of the challenges and opportunities that the airport industry is facing in our part of the world, and also share with you some data that was just published today by ACI, which is the state of the industry in terms of traffic data in Latin America as compared to the world. And the good news is that Latin America and the Caribbean is actually recovering faster than any other region in the world, which is quite interesting. But it also tells us one thing, and it is the fact that aviation is absolutely essential in our part of the world. It is not just for tourism. It is not just, you know, to go and see relatives. It is absolutely essential for the functioning of the economy and for the societies. If you think about it, in a country like Colombia, for example, you know, if you were to fly from Bogota to Medellin, it takes less than an hour. By car, it takes you 8-10 hours. Okay, so it is absolutely essential. That is one of the reasons why, you know, the recovery is actually so vigorous in our part of the world. So right now, just out of the top numbers, the world at the end of the first quarter, at the end of March this year, was still 18% below the numbers compared to 2019. Latin America and the Caribbean is 1% above. Okay, so that tells you the whole story. Anyway, so I'm going to be focusing on, as I said, on the challenges and opportunities, but I just wanted to say very quickly for those of you who do not know what ACI is, basically ACI is the International Organization of Airports. Since we have our friends from ALTA and IATA, basically ACI is the IATA of the airports, more or less. And I just wanted to point out to you that in the case of Latin America and the Caribbean, we have over 350 airports, and these airports handle approximately 98% of the traffic. And just for those of you who are members of ACI, I just want to stress something that I always say to you: come to us for anything you need airport related, okay? Because here we are here to serve you. So what are the challenges that airports are facing? This is basically, I'm putting these things forward as a way of starting dialogue during the discussion later on in these presentations and later on in this event. So on the one hand, one of the big challenges that airports are facing, and particularly in the Caribbean, these are operational challenges. And in particular, the peak hour demand. We were discussing a few moments ago with IATA the fact that, you know, some of the airports actually are facing a situation where most of the operations happen at the same time, between 10 o'clock in the morning and midday is when all the flights from the US arrive. And it is absolutely essential that we have the tools, that we have the dialogue amongst the different stakeholders in the industry to ensure that this is handled, you know, in an effective way. Because otherwise, we may end up in a situation where we actually have to expand the infrastructure. We have to build more. Definitely building more is good. That reflects that actually the industry is growing. But it's not really that good if that is only for 1 or 2 hours a day. So that is one of the challenges that we are facing. Another problem that we are facing, but not only limited to Latin America and the Caribbean, throughout the world, is the economic performance of airports. And the reason here, the point here is that the great majority of airports around the world and in our part of the world are very small. They don't have the critical mass to generate enough revenues to cover the costs. Okay, so that is an issue. 68% of the airports in Latin America handle less than 1 million passengers. So this is an issue. Okay, so we actually are working as the as ACI with these airports to help them, you know, develop alternative sources of revenue. For example, commercial revenues, not only from shops, duty frees, whatever, you know, that to actually maximize those revenues. That is extremely challenging for most of the airports, as I say, in Latin America and in the world. Another thing that actually is a bit of a challenge is the aviation market as such. We see, not necessarily in Dominican Republic, which, by the way, as was mentioned before, Dominican Republic, Colombia, and Mexico are the huge success stories in the world, are the countries that actually are recovering the fastest. And the Dominican Republic is quite open when it comes to air services agreements. But overall, in Latin America and the Caribbean, we face a situation where there is very little opportunities for airlines to set up routes, to set up new flights, as you encounter in, probably the best example is Europe. And we as ACI are really fighting very hard and are going to be fighting very hard from now on to really pass on the message to the governments to liberalize air transportation. I will just say that, but I'm basically just giving you the opportunities. And another thing in relation to all this is airport competition. A good example of airport competition is the fact that we are here today. Airports basically asking airlines to fly there. That is actually a very common situation in Europe too, you know? I mean, you are basically begging airlines to come and fly to you, all right? So that competition between airports is actually a reality. And finally, we have the environmental issue challenge. Environmental, not only from the point of view of CO2 emissions, and I will touch on that in a moment, but also the challenge that rising sea levels and the strengthening of tropical storms are, you know, having an impact on the airport. So we have to reinforce the infrastructures there. So those are the challenges. So opportunities. In relation to all this, well, we see very clearly that that technology can play a huge role. That technology can be applied in relation to, for example, the predictability in air traffic flows. That is something that we were discussing it this morning, you know, working together with the airlines, our air navigation service providers, to really ensure that those flows are as efficient as possible to provide that predictability that is so necessary, you know? On the other hand, we can use technology to expedite processing times. It is totally unacceptable to have long queues waiting to go through immigration when we have the technology that is actually being applied in many parts of the world, even in Latin America. A very good example that I always like to give is Uruguay. Uruguay is a very good example, Aruba as well, of implementing these technologies to facilitate those processes. And at the end of the day, all this means that this results in increased passenger satisfaction, which is what we, airports and airlines, want. A big opportunity I see as well is the new developments in terms of technology applied to aircraft. The advanced air mobility concepts, e-aviation, I think that if there is one part of the world that can really benefit is the Caribbean. The close proximity between islands, the abundance of sunny days, you know, the sun, makes it really an interesting case study to implement this as soon as possible. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that the Dutch Caribbean islands are already working very much on this, so I encourage all the airports in our part of the world to really get on with this. And as I was saying before, the liberalization of air transport markets. I mean, I think that, and you in particular know, that the most important factor that drove the growth of air transportation in Europe was the liberalization of air transport. It is as simple as that. You know, we can talk about many other things, but it was the liberalization of air transport markets. The fact that any airline can fly from any two points they wish, okay, which is something that is not yet happening here. I'm not going all the way to say cabotage, because I know that some people are going to have kittens if we say that. But, you know, just opening up international markets, that by itself is extremely exciting. And as I say, we're going to be talking about this during the year. A very good example I always like to say is the agreement, for example, between Morocco and the European Union. excellent agreement there that greatly opened up the market and actually allowed the flourishing of tourism. So with that, I just come to the last slide, which is basically the environmental challenges that we are facing. And I just wanted to say and congratulate the airports in Latin America. Today, we actually celebrated worldwide in ACI the 500th airport that actually has joined the Airport Carbon Accreditation Program, which is the only program in the world that actually helps airports reduce carbon emissions. And, you know, the interesting thing that probably you don't know is that 71 airports in Latin America are part of this program, which makes us the second largest region in the world in terms of participation in ACA. So with that, thank you very much. I wanted to share with you these points. I'm very much looking forward to the discussion.
Rafael, thank you so much. That was wonderful. Thank you very much indeed. And I can absolutely echo your comment about liberalization. As some of you can tell from my accent, I come from Ireland, and we know a small low-cost airline in Ireland that has succeeded quite well as a result of liberalization. But if I turn to the airline side of things, Jaime, please, I'd like to invite you to give us a view. I'm so sorry we don't have enough time to discuss this in much more detail, but I know we will do over the coming days.
Well, first of all, I would like to say good morning to everybody, and I would like to thank the organization. Claire, thank you very much for the invitation. And of course, today I'm representing ALTA, which is the Latin American and Caribbean Air Transport Association. We are a small association based especially in Latin America. We have 50 airlines represented, not only airlines that operate out of Latin America, but also airlines that fly from abroad to Latin America and use our airports. I'm not going to bore you with lots of figures, but I do have some slides that I would like to share with you. And probably when you get home and you have time to look into them and see the exact figures, you will be able to see exactly what Rafael was saying just recently, that Latin America has experienced the fastest passenger demand post-pandemic and the recovery compared to other parts of the world. You will see that several countries have even exceeded these figures. Here we see, for example, the latest figures for March 2023, where you see countries like Colombia, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic, which was instrumental in all the growth in the region. Mexico, of course, because as you remember, they never closed the borders during the pandemic, so the recovery was much faster. Colombia recovered really, really quickly, and the Dominican Republic, similar to what the Minister of Tourism said this morning, because of the less restrictions when they opened the borders again, the increase has been enormous. In international traffic, again, we'll see that the Dominican Republic has reached 109% over 2019 levels, which is a real tremendous effort from the government, the airlines, and of course, the airports operating in the region, in the island. On domestic passengers, we've seen fantastic growth, as I mentioned, 127% in Mexico, for example. But then in the last first quarter of this year, we've seen a decrease in traffic for specific reasons, especially in Colombia, where we saw two major airlines disappearing in 1 month. That made the traffic, of course, of the first semester go down compared to what we had last year. And places like in Peru, where we had a lot of social unrest, and unfortunately, people decided to attack airports. We had major airports in Peru closed for 2-3 weeks at a time because they decided to break the perimeter security. They were inside the airports. They broke windows. They broke equipment, and it took the concessionaires a lot of money and a lot of time to get the airports back to safely operate them again. So those were specific instances in two countries in Latin America where the recovery was going very well. But of course, Colombia has slowed down and Peru hasn't even reached the figures that we had before the pandemic. compared to other regions in the world, we see that Latin America still has plenty of place to grow. That means that in countries like in Panama, we have 1.13 travels a year per person, compared to Colombia, 0.82, Mexico, 0.80, Brazil, the largest economy of the region, 0.56. That means that's the country where there's more potential to grow. Argentina, 0.68. Chile is doing extremely well in their figures with 1.32. You can compare that to the whole of Europe, 2.57 travels per year per person. The USA, 2.53 travels per year. So mainly the most significant challenges that we have from the side of the airlines, we see costs, operating costs, always growing. We see the inflation and exchange rates of the countries affecting the operations and the costs of the airlines because, as you may know, most of the costs of the airlines are in US dollars. And of course, if everything else is in a domestic currency and you have to pay in dollars, you have to convert whatever revenue you have in domestic currency, convert it into dollars, and of course, you have to spend much more. For example, the cost of fuel in the last few months and at the end of 2022, the cost of fuel represented 50% of operational costs of the airlines. And this is maybe one of the reasons why the airlines in Colombia with revenues in Colombian pesos went upside down because they couldn't cover their operation costs. Other huge impact, of course, is the inflation. Most of our currencies are very weak towards the US dollar and the European currency. And of course, exchange rates make a difference when you buy in domestic and you have to pay in US dollars. And another issue that we have also is basically taxation on aviation. And that's a very touchy issue in some countries, but I'm just going to leave it at that. We have countries like Argentina where $100 a ticket, maybe 70% is taxes. And of course, that makes a difference when you think of buying a ticket to go to a country. We have countries in the Caribbean where those taxes are not as expensive. I'm talking about taxes to the passengers, not airport taxes as such. And Rafael also mentioned, the airlines also have a commitment to come to net zero by 2050. That means that the airlines have also a plan to decarbonize the industry. And to do that, we have several factors, one of which is, of course, the introduction of SAF, sustainable aviation fuel, which should come within the next few years. Unfortunately, in the region, we have only one plant that is actually going to start producing SAF next year. Only one. That means that there's not going to be any SAF available for the airlines in Latin America for many years to come. What we do in ALTA, together with IATA, of course, is go to governments and say, the time is now. We cannot wait any more time for the governments to help introduce the production, incentivize the production and commercialization of SAF in our countries, because we need to comply not only with the local governments, but also governments in Europe. SAF, it represents 65% of this effort, together with new technologies. We know for a fact that Boeing and Embraer already have aircraft which are very, very efficient. They're also thinking of aircraft fuel with hydrogen, which is going to be a totally new technology for middle-sized aircraft and middle-sized routes. That's going to be very interesting to see. I understand that Embraer is very well ahead. Infrastructure of operations, as also Rafael mentioned, the airports are also part of all this decarbonization of the industry, and they're also committed. We work very closely together with them because they can also help changing the fuels of ground handling equipment and the airports themselves to comply with this process. We have carbon offset, which is going to be very interesting also. And as all these come together, hopefully by 2050 we'll have a net zero agreement there. So to conclude here, what we say is that fees and taxes, of course, affect the final price of a ticket. Passengers are very price sensitive. When you're in the US or you're in Europe and you look at different destinations, the first thing you do is look at the price. Are you coming to the Dominican Republic? Are you coming to San Martin? Are you coming to other islands? Are you going to Trinidad? Are you going to Barbados? And according to the price, you choose. So wherever country has the less taxes on the ticket, that's where people will come. And this is how we see how different markets develop. The concern of the government is that they think that if they lower the taxes, then they will lose money for their budget. And that's not real. The real thing is that as you lower taxes, more passengers will come and will offset the less income that they thought they were going to get by lowering these taxes. And to end up with our idea is that each country in our region, especially here in the Caribbean, there has to be a state agenda with technical basis that promotes competitiveness between the different islands so that we can develop the aviation and, of course, more people will be able to travel. Today, travel is not something for the upper classes and the more wealthy people. Travel is for everybody, especially in our islands, where people need to move from one island to another to visit friends, to visit family, and of course, tourism, which is the most important gear in this issue. And for a country like the Dominican Republic, it's paramount that you have people visiting the island. And of course, that's why we're here, and we'll see what's going to happen next. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Jaime. Those were both fantastic overviews of the situation that we have here. And I'd like to thank both Rafael and Jaime very much indeed. I'm really sorry that because of the slight delay that we're making up, there isn't enough time to get into a proper question and answer session, because there are lots of things I'd like to discuss there. But I would very much encourage you to talk to both Jaime and Rafael in the course of the subsequent lunch or later on in the conference to go into those points in some more detail, because I think they've both summarized the situation we're in very, very well. So I'd like to thank you both very much indeed, and I look forward to talking to you later on. But thank you again, and I know people will look forward to looking at your presentations.